The Nutty Bites podcast is geek approved by the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast. Because, hey, how can it not be?
Hello, Mixed Nuts! Welcome to yet again another Nutty Debate. Today, we're going to focus on what's near and dear to our hearts at this time of season, presents! Yes, we're going to talk about geek gifts, what not to get a geek, what to get a geek, and possibly some of the worst and best presents that we've had. Today with me, I have Tech.
Hello, everyone. My vote was to call you Nut Jobs, but that was booed down at the press club.
There was a vote.
I know.
And Hugh from the Way of the Buffalo podcast.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Which is great because it is your inaugural spot on Nutty Debate and Nutty Bites. Yay!
Yes!
Don't worry, the burning stops after a while.
although I have mentioned The Way of the Buffalo on the podcast, so my listeners
lovely.
Will have heard of it before. All right, so let's start out with what not to get a geek. Who'd like to start?
I will. I have to start by being a nerd on a geek podcast again. But, you know, a geek means more than just like sci-fi or fantasy geeks in this sense. A geek to me could be anybody who has an overwhelming passion for one subject. There are cooking geeks. My mother is definitely a knitting and craft geek. My dad is a gun geek. You know, you really can't argue with this. So if you're not sure about a person's geekery and you don't know the topic, don't guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you have a giant Trekkie and you think he likes Star Wars, don't buy him Star Wars stuff. Just, you know. So, my message for this whole podcast today is know your audience.
Yeah, I see that you like Doctor Who and Red Dwarf, so I got you these Keeping Up Appearance collectible plates.
It's British comedy. It's all the same, right?
Yes. Any ideas there, Hugh?
Another thing would be if someone is a big geek on something, make sure that you understand the level of geek they are. So, like, don't get them, like, if they're a big Doctor Who fan, don't get them the beginner's guide to, you know, Doctor Who episodes. They know all that already.
Yeah, I will definitely agree with that. And kind of, it's good to know what they already do have. I have had in the past often people trying to understand me, and they say, oh, you like Star Trek, so I'll just get you this random Star Trek thing. And while it's great, if I already have two or three of them because everybody thinks I like them, it's nice, but it's like, oh, yay, another phaser.
I find gift giving for geeks can be quite easy. I mean, I have this trick that I play on my family every year, and they haven't caught on yet, and they don't listen to this podcast. So, I'm safe. The thing with geeks is we love to talk about our hobbies. Almost all geeks, I'm sure there's some out there that don't, but we love our hobbies, whatever type of geekery it is. So when I'm hanging out with my parents. I mean, having a chat with my dad about guns or having a chat about my mother about anything in the kitchen or the arts and crafts that she's involved in, they will just wax philosophic for hours and hours and hours explaining to me all of the details and trials and tribulations they've had with their hobbies that year. And then the gift list just builds itself in your head as you listen. So the secret to gift giving for a geek is to talk to the geek.
Yes.
Know your geek, basically.
Know your geek.
I would say make sure that if you are giving to a geek and say you don't know about their fandom and you don't really get it, you don't have to go and get them something from it, but it might be good not to get them something that's kind of antithetical to their fandom.
No, but even if you don't know what his geekdom is about, like you know nothing of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You can get them a cool gift and then put it in, like, Doctor Who wrapping paper.
Oh, totally.
Or a Doctor Who card, or, you know, put, like, a Dalek whisk on the front of it.
I was thinking more of the lines of, like, you know, this person is a huge Firefly fan, and it's all about, you know, being out on your own and being free. Let's not, you know, get them a subscription to Fox News or something like that. I don't know. I can't think of
what exactly. Oh, great. Here you go. Now you've offended all the right-wing weirdos.
hey, it's all good. I accept any nuts of any form.
Mm. Wow, no innuendo there. Innuendo in your endo.
PG podcast. Stop it.
I am being PG.
Oh my.
Censored.
But yeah, I've had times when people have, well, I'm not really into geek things, so I'm just going to get her what normal people should be liking. And she'll like it because this is what normal people like. It can be kind of frustrating.
He likes Star Trek. There's no bathrooms on a starship. A bathroom has towels. He must like towels. A gift certificate to Bed Bath & Beyond. He'll love it.
Mm. Although, towels does work for a geek.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, for his hikers.
I have gotten a towel for Christmas, along with my complete book of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and
sass
it had all five of it.
Sass that hoopy fruit. Yes. He's a guy who knows where his towel's at.
And that present was from Tech, actually. So I have to say that was always a fun one.
I did get you a towel.
You did get me a towel, and we use it to this day. Mm. I know where my towel is at. It's upstairs in the pantry.
It's over there.
But yeah, and that's the other thing with a geek, it's just little references like that. If your geek is a fan of Hitchhikers, you can get them a towel and it's cool. You can buy somebody, hang on, I'm gonna do a sound effect here, something like this, a sonic screwdriver for $15-$20, and it would be the most amazing gift they got. I got the Serenity Pewter keychain from my brother last year, and I was over the moon for it. And I know it's like a $10, $15 gift, but, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, price doesn't matter when it comes to gifts. And if you get something that shows you really know your geek, they're going to treasure that more than if you spent $100 on them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This holiday season, Mars needs podcasts. Think about them by going to theweirdshow.com. Mars needs podcasts. I'll make sure that a Martian also gets a subscription for free. Theweirdshow.com.
What do you get your geek?
I think it depends on the geek. I think, like I said, know your geek and have a conversation with them and see what they're missing and see what they like and go from there. And the thing with gifts is there's always an urge to go, there's always a push every year to go more and more retail and buy bigger and badder and better things, but I've always had a soft spot for things that are made, things that are created.
Love handmade stuff.
Yeah, and I once did a Christmas many, many moons ago where the gift we presented each other had to be handmade, which turned out to be a hell of a lot of fun. That's my only point is, you know, what do you get a geek? Well, it depends on the type of geek. I mean, the stuff that I'm going to get my gun geek dad is not the stuff I'd get my craft geek sister.
True. And may I point out that, is it allowed for me to point out the present that you're actually wearing right now?
Oh, yes, my Yoshi and Mario jammy pants. These things are awesome.
Nice.
It was not a Christmas present. It was just something I sent to you while you were overseas. But that's pretty much all you have to do is you find out what somebody likes and just look around for it. And you'd be surprised. You can find pajamas. You can find gloves. You can make gloves. You can make hats. I mean, who doesn't want a Jane hat to shovel the snow in the winter? Possibly not people that live in Florida or Texas, but, you know, everyone else in the real world like us.
Yes. True.
You know, a Jane hat is pretty darn warm, or an R2-D2 hat, or whatever the fandom is. It's pretty easy, I think, to find things, especially now. And as D-Dog had tweeted me earlier today, anything from the Think Geek catalog will work.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I love that site.
The Think Geek catalog's very good. I did see the coolest holiday thing in there this year, which was the 8-bit wreath. I'm not sure if either of you saw that.
No, I haven't, but it's being punched up on the internet machine right now. I must see an 8-bit wreath.
You know, block art, pixel art wreath.
LED?
Yes, it's LED. It's got lights in it, which are coins.
That's awesome.
Got like a rupee in it and like a slime and a one up.
Yeah, it's got cherries from Pac-Man. It's got a Tetris. What are those called? A Tetrimo?
A Tetromino, yeah. From Tetris. The
L block.
The one-up mushroom's actually wearing a Santa hat.
Yeah.
Got the little blob thing from Dragon Quest, a Gradius jet fighter. That is all done in pixel art.
The little monkey is telling me, oh no, this product is out of stock. But that is totally cool. I love it. Yeah, the ThinkGeek catalog really does work as a great place to start. I know that I ordered some things from it, and I get it shipped to my sister in Connecticut because it's a lot easier than shipping to Canada. And so now the catalog gets delivered there, and her kids love catalogs, and they're little growing geeks. She has to hide the catalog sometimes because they will flag every single page and say they want every single thing because they're huge Star Wars nerds and they've become huge Cthulhu nerds because of the show Calls for Cthulhu. My nephew will actually go around pretending he has the puppet and pretending to be Cthulhu. It's really cute. I've got to get a video of him trying to do Bran's voice. It cracks me up to no end. But they open up the catalog and they want everything. I think one of the things that I really wanted from there, and I saw it at New York Comic Con, and I kick myself for not going over and buying it, original series Star Trek bathrobes with the insignia, and the blue one has Spock's gold bands on the arm, and the gold one is Kirk's whole thing, and it was just so cool. And that is something that's so geeky that...
Nice.
It's very easy to tickle a geek that way. It just takes a little bit. I've seen so many knitting patterns for TARDIS scarves and TARDIS gloves and anything Doctor Who and anything Star Wars and so many things Star Trek, and there's anime stuff, there's Mario stuff. What is it? Your sister knits Angry Birds hats.
Mm-hmm. That's really...
They're adorable. And Mario hats too, right?
Oh, she's got the whole geek, yeah. Geekapalooza going on with her hats.
I think geeks are really good for t-shirts, and there are a lot of good geeky, clever t-shirt places online that are a good source for gifts. I think one of the best ways to go about getting a gift for a geek is to find what they like and then find something similar so you can sort of expand their fandom. Is also a good way to, if there's something you like. Like, I got my brother, who doesn't listen to this podcast, I don't think. My brother's a history geek, and
I
got
Hugh's
him.
If brother is listening, press stop now.
If you know who you are, stop now. And I got him a book. I got him Cory Doctorow's time travel novella, A Place So Foreign.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point in expanding the fandom while that's getting punched up here. My sister reads a lot of fantasy novels, so I got her... She had not read any of the George R. Martin series. So this was a few years ago. We got her the four books that were out at the time, mm-hmm. and told her that she had to read the first 30 pages of book one, and then she'd finish the other 4,000 pages. And then she instantaneously devoured the books, and we would get phone calls at all hours of, why are you making me read this book? It's so cruel what the writer's doing to his characters. I love it. And
so, I think my favorite was the email you got before she read Dance with Dragons.
Oh, right. When she just got book five a little while ago, she wanted... It's like, would I mind giving her a quick plot summary in an email so that she could get caught up before reading book five? So you want me to quickly plot summarize 4,000 pages from memory right now in an email? It's like, go to the wiki.
Yeah. And towerofthehand.com, baby.
Go to the wiki. Oh, there's a wiki for that? Yes, my dear. Please go there.
It's A Place So Foreign and Eight More by Cory Doctorow. And yes, definitely cool.
So you think that'll be a big hit, Hugh?
Oh yeah, he likes science fiction, although I don't know if he's read much Doctorow. And he's a history teacher.
Mm.
So this is going to be right up his alley.
That should be good. I think that Cory Doctorow is a great sci-fi writer for people that are slightly on the fringe anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like his sci-fi isn't ever too heavy-handed, and it's very easy to get pulled into it. I find him very easy to recommend to people. So I think that's great. Yeah, I love the idea of you know that the person you're buying for is into something and you buy them something similar. My brother last year with the Serenity keychain also got me the 3-book set of The Hunger Games because he knew I liked young adults. He knew I liked dystopian future type things. He knew I liked books that were in series and he had read it. So he knew it was good and he hadn't finished the first book and he went out and bought me the 3-book set because he knew it would be perfect for me and I tore right through them. And that was a great gift. I loved that.
This is Christoph Laputka, author and creator of the Leviathan Chronicles. Do you want to learn how to make your own audio drama?
The best thing about the whole process is that nobody appreciates it but us.
You're not singing and you're not in a band, then you should not be using a mic that's too good because it picks up
everything, right?
Everything, yeah. Right, you know.
Do you want to learn more about directing voice actors?
For me, it is a performance, and I appreciate it when somebody else delivers a performance and recognizes that this is some kind of art form and not just something that we're doing as a little community to get stories out there.
Do you want to take your podcast to the next level?
Well, this is supposed to be a superior way to do it. It's just that if you're using the kind of free software that's available for a PC, you probably haven't done this before because it's not really convenient to do
something. Mm-hmm. But most people don't realize that you release under a non-com, no derivatives license. That doesn't mean that you can't then take what you did and go not just publish a book, but adapt it for the screen.
Hmm.
Or sell the podcast that you've recorded to the BBC for broadcast in another country.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to tune in to the Full Cast podcast with Brian Lincoln and Abigail Hilton. The best place to get information on the production and assembly of great podcasts and great audio drama.
I mean, talking to you guys, everyone I talk to, I feel like I've learned something from. Everyone's got their strengths and backgrounds. Different people have a background in music or in film or, you know, I'm in science, so maybe I would be the kind of person that might try to actually design some sort of a noise reduction filter from raw code. Not that I have, but
tune in to the Full Cast podcast.
Our website is fullcastpodcast.com.
Let's talk about some of our favorite gifts that we've received.
Beyond the Yoshi pants that I'm obviously wearing?
Yeah, beyond the Yoshi pants.
Everything I get is a gift because I am a gigantic nerd.
I know one right off the top of my head.
Mm.
It wasn't from me.
Mm.
It was from your sister.
Which one?
Before you went overseas the first time.
My sash?
No.
Hmm.
Roar.
Oh, Rory, my dragon! How dare I forget? My sister has a tradition. Every year since we were very, very young, I get a dragon every year for Christmas. Either some sort of little statuette or a shirt or a book or anyway, something dragon-related every year. And oh, it must be going on a decade now before going overseas the first time. My sister gave me this. I think they're made by Gund. Or Gans, sorry.
It's the same one that does the... Oh, what are those? The Webkinz.
Yeah. Same company that makes the Webkinz. They made this Year of the Dragon 2000, this little hand puppet. We named him Rory because he only says one word, Roar. I usually carry him around at cons.
Mm-hmm.
He
has his own fan page.
He has his own fan page. He has more
.com, Rory Says Roar, twitter.com/Rory Says Roar, R-A-W-R.
He has more friends at Balticon than I do. He gets hugs from all of the pretty girls in corsets. I get none.
He came to our wedding.
He came to the wedding. He had a tuxedo. His sister showed up in a little baptism dress. Oh yeah. Rory kicks butt. He's my mascot. He goes with me everywhere. He has his own definite personality now. Has a thing for lamb. Says roar a lot. No.
And chomps visitors to the house.
And attacks visitors to the house, especially my old roommate Dave. No, above and beyond all geek things, I am a puppetry geek, and I love puppets. And yeah, Rory was awesome.
And how about you, Hugh?
Okay, this has to be going on 15 years ago, and I've still got this. Back when there used to be a Warner Brothers actual store, like in malls, my brother got me this huge Batman mug. And I have carried that mug, you know, halfway across the country and back, and it is my getting serious mug for coffee and tea when I'm working. It's, you know, you bring the Batman, you bring your A game.
Yeah, when we need metric boatloads of coffee.
You bring the Batcan of coffee.
Trying to bring out the Batcan, the Batmug.
That sounds awesome. I think any Batman gift would be kind of awesome to me. I'm a huge Batman geek. I've gotten Batman for several Christmases in comic book form from Tech, and that's always awesome. He tends to give me comic books quite a bit, and I've always enjoyed that. I've gotten the Firefly, the complete series. Was that a Christmas or a birthday present? I can't remember.
They've all been Christmas presents.
Oh, okay. It was a Christmas present, and we watched it very, very quickly thereafter, and I became a huge brown coat very, very quickly before the movie came out. I've gotten, I'm looking at my Buffy Chosen collection. That was a Christmas present. The Angel collection, that was a Christmas present. I'm trying to think, what is my best geek present, though? I've had so many awesome ones. I still love the towel. I have to say, the towel is really cool. I'm not sure what my favorite geek present is. I get tickled by them all, though. I think my favorite is actually Tech's favorite, which is Rory, which wasn't my present, but it's enriched my life so much.
How could a dragon not enrich someone's life?
Oh, totally.
I mean, it's a dragon.
Anything dragon related would be awesome, I have to say. You got a knitted cap from your sister last year. It's a green cap with black spinides on the top, like a dragon. That was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm just looking around the house now and just looking at all of the different things. And yeah, I'd say pretty... Oh, my... It sounds really dorky, but my iPod Touch was a really great geek gift, which you forced me to get.
Yeah.
I had... And my first iPod was a great geek gift, too. That was a Christmas present, too. I had the big brick-looking iPod, and... Oh, that's what got me into podcasts, because I could carry it around with me. And I was into podcasts beforehand, but being able to listen to it off the computer was amazing. And then the iPod Touch, when Tech said, you know, I said, oh, I don't really need that. I just need my music. I don't need anything else. What do I want apps for? No, that does not leave my side.
Can I derail this for a second?
Go right ahead.
I just thought of the worst geekdom to buy presents for.
Oh.
Because they're so picky.
Okay.
Anime geeks.
Hmm.
Mm.
Love you, the otaku.
Most expensive.
Well, and gloriously expensive. Now, there are some animated series. There are some anime series that I really enjoy. I'm a huge Ghost in the Shell nerd. I must have watched Standalone Complex about 1,000 times. But to the outsider looking in, all those cartoons look the same. They all have the same general look of production values. So he likes these Japanese cartoon things. I'll get him this one.
Yeah, that is a problem. It's like, well, Sailor Moon and Revolutionary Girl Utena look the same, but one's entirely off the rails and the other isn't.
I remember at a video store in my hometown when they first started getting in anime that people could rent. I saw this lady was there with her son. He must have been about 10. And she's at the anime shelf looking for things, and she picks up a copy of this. Was it La Blue Girl? Anyway, it was, you know, the good old tentacle stuff. That's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sure little Johnny will like this. No, ma'am, I don't think he will.
I remember that. She got mad at you for telling her not to get the video.
Oh, yeah, she got quite mad that how dare I tell her what was okay for her son. It's like, well, you go ahead and rent that copy of La Blue Girl. Go ahead and try to get your money back tomorrow.
Yeah, if I were you, I would watch it before you let your kid watch it. Just because it's a cartoon does not mean it's safe.
Well, you know, that's all, you know, subjective. I once talked to a woman who let her son watch Sin City because it was based on a comic, and she knew what it was about, but she still let him watch it. And I thought, oh, this kid's going to end up being, like, a serial killer or something.
You know, actually, I think I could deal with a kid, because my cousin let his son at, like, around 10 watch the Blade movies. And
well,
this
kid was
boring.
Like three.
Yeah. And I think, though, that Sin City would probably, to me, be tamer than Blade. I don't know why. I just think so. But if you're saying at three, I have to admit that my niece was allowed to watch Buffy and Xena and all of that stuff when she was very young because she knew it wasn't real. You know, it was, it does depend on the kid, but yeah, Sin City for a 3-year-old is a bit harsh. Maybe the parent just thinks, oh, they're not picking it up.
There was a guy at work that started this whole thing where he was, a friend and I were discussing the episode of Robot Chicken that we had watched the night before, and this guy started laughing at us. He's like, you guys watch that? You guys watch that cartoon show? That's with puppets. That's for kids. I'm like, it's Robot Chicken. It really isn't. He goes, my 6-year-old watches that, and he loves it. Like, you let your 6-year-old? Well, one, why is he up at 11 o'clock at night to watch Robot Chicken? And two, why are you letting your 6-year-old watch this? This is not for kids. He goes, oh, it's on the Cartoon Network. That's like Treehouse. That entire TV network is just for kids. No, it's not.
It's called Adult Swim for a reason.
Not so much.
Consider this. Now consider this.
I vociferously disagreed with him.
I'm not feeling too sanguine about, you know, eating not
to. Okay, now picture a character archetype hanging from every hanger. The romantic hero type. The almost villainous protagonist type.
Well, I'll be darned. It does sound like that.
Mika, I think you waxed North Carolinian there for a second.
Pendragon variety. Usually more intelligible than a baby.
All right, so we've got Amber from the Lavender Lane podcast, and she's joining us a bit late. And today we're going to be talking about geek presence. Now, we've already covered what not to get a geek, what to get a geek, and some of our favorite geek presence. So maybe Amber can catch up a little and tell us a little bit what do you think is what not to get a geek?
What not to get a geek?
Mm-hmm.
Eww.
And by the way, Mixed Nuts, Amber is probably the least geeky person on this call right now. She's a geek, but she's the least geeky.
I know, so everything I'm probably going to say is probably what you should not get a geek, because I have no idea. But I like to add to things, so we'll see. What not to get a geek? I would say not to get them any computer software or anything like that, because it's probably not as good as you think it is.
Very good, very good. And right? You don't know what they're using already.
Right? Yeah. Like, I wouldn't buy, any sort of computer programming or computer software of any kind, because they might hate it or think it's, or it's too inferior.
Right. But buying them a microphone is a good thing, right?
That's a great thing. That was a nice surprise that we got from you.
When Amber and Paula started the Lavender Lane podcast, I sent them a snowflake microphone so that they could get some good sound. And it was amazing. Night and day, the difference. I loved it. Or did I give that to you for when you started the podcast or when you started recording your After House songs?
I think it was the songs. I think it was around the songs. Yeah.
And my listeners will already know some of that music, as I definitely featured Hungry Like a Wolf on the podcast.
Thank you.
Great cover, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you. We try.
And succeed.
And your recommendations on what to get a geek.
What to get a geek? Well, for me, and I'm not very geeky, I could never have too many flash drives. So.
Oh, good. Yes.
Absolutely. I love a good flash drive.
And that works for non-geeks as well, because we got was it last year that we got my father-in-law, Tech's father, we got him a hard drive, an external hard drive, so he could back up all his pictures, but we also got everyone in the family 8-gig flash drives so that they could they could share pictures, because they each have DSLRs, and they're constantly talking about, oh, can you get me that, can you burn me a CD of those pictures? And it's like, no, just use a flash drive. And right? So everybody got 8-gig flash drives that year, mm-hmm. that Christmas. It was great.
The other thing, speaking of which, is you can get flash drives with stuff already on them.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. Like, last year my partner got me, like, this flash drive with all of This American Life on it, which was very cool.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, because that's a practical and personal gift.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that a lot. There's a lot of places that you can get e-books already on the flash drive. I know that part of Myrtle Lafferty's Kickstarter was she was putting the complete Heaven series on flash drives and sending them out to people. I know that when we went to Sigler Fest, he put a bunch of stuff on these bright orange Dark Overlord Media branded flash drives. And that was really cool because we had all sorts of stories and special things on there and PDFs. So yeah, I like the idea of flash drives with something already on it.
And you can get a super cool looking flash drive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They have like characters like Star Wars and they have ninja stars and like, all kinds of anything you can think of as a flash drive.
I also like the flash drives that look like something else.
Yes.
They don't look like they're a flash drive.
Yes, I like those too.
Like then the it's lipstick
like,
one.
It's like a secret.
Yeah. Spy.
Exactly.
But back to what you said about software, Amber, if I may, I saw this thing on Failblog a little while ago, and it was a, we all know the video game series, the Modern Warfare series, and the caption on the photo said, "I asked my grandmother for Modern Warfare for Christmas, and this is what I got." And it's called the Modern Warfare Collection, and it's like four really cheesy, horrible movies that she must have picked up in a bargain bin somewhere for a few dollars. Oh, he wanted Modern Warfare. This has to be it. And I see these every year around this time where, you know, there's the Transformers movie, but there's also the Transmorphers, which uses the same font style. And I bet they sucker grandparents with that every year. And it was the same with this Modern Warfare. It used the same font. And this poor kid thought he was getting one of the greatest first-person shooters of all time, and he ends up getting four horrible movies.
Poor kid.
I can say that I've had my mother call me often. Generally, once a year, she'll call and say, what kind of games do I buy, Tim? Is he the PS3, the Wii, or the Xbox 360? Mom, he's got the Xbox 360. Oh, okay. So if I get him... What was it that he wanted last year? Dragon Age? Oblivion? Something?
Oh, it was Dragon Age.
So I get it on in the green box. Yes, Mom, the green box. Nothing like, and I've seen this often, where people will buy somebody a game. Yeah, they really want, you know, Call of Duty, and then they buy it for the wrong console.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always fun. That's not a problem in this house.
This house either.
Yeah.
And we just welcomed a new child into our house. We have a baby PlayStation 3 now.
Yay!
Ooh, yes. Congratulations.
My parents gave it to us as an early Christmas gift. So now we have the choice between which console do we want this game on.
Yes.
It's a nice problem to have.
Mm. And I can tell you that using it as a Blu-ray player or a DVD player is amazing because it will upscale regular DVDs. You put Serenity or the Firefly discs into the PS3, and it's so much clearer than if you put it in a regular DVD player.
Good to know.
Mm. Yes. So is that going to be your favorite geek gift?
Right now it is, yeah. That's my favorite geek gift is our new PS3, and we're about to get Skyrim and really geek up over Christmas weekend.
Nice. Are you getting that for the PC or for the PS3?
We're going to get it for the PS3.
Kiss all of your personal relationships goodbye. Welcome to nerddom. I think in my first week, I had a bit of a vacation. I bought Skyrim upon returning from a course. In 1 week, I played for 47 hours. I'm telling you, this thing is... Oh, God. I have to limit myself now because I can't get sucked back in.
It's pretty bad, I have to say. After him being gone for 3 months, and then it's, you know, knock knock, honey, you want to actually do something today? Quiet. I am. I'm learning a new scream.
Make me a sandwich. I'm busy.
Yeah, no. Video games are definitely good gifts, I will say. So let's move on to worst attempted geek gifts you've gotten.
I've been holding on to this one for a while.
Uh oh.
When I was a kid, and the Super Nintendo was out, I really, really wanted Zelda: A Link to the Past, which is still today one of the greatest games ever made. But my mother thought Super Nintendo games were too expensive, so she got me Zelda for the Nintendo that I still had that she bought at a bargain bin somewhere and figured, oh, it's got the same title. It's got to be the same game, right?
Oh.
Close but not quite, Mom. Thanks.
Still a classic.
Still a classic. And I've got those old cassettes in a box somewhere, you know, and appreciative for the effort, but no.
That was definitely a wah 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 moment.
Definitely goes back to your thing about no software.
Yeah, with the patented way of fixing a cartridge, blowing in it.
Yes.
And the patented way of fixing the actual console by sticking two cartridges in to keep the first cartridge down because the spring always breaks.
Yes.
It has to be mentioned. All right, so who wants to share one of their worst?
One year, I had to be a little older. I was probably in high school. My grandmother decided that, well, I like comic books, so she got me these, like, trading cards that were the weirdest thing. They were, like, Warner Brothers cartoons, but also, like, sports figures at the time. It was just strange.
The sad thing is I know what you're talking about. I've seen them.
Yeah. Come to think of it, I think in my comic box I've got some of those old, when they do those like Spider-Man PSA comic books, you know, warning you again, you know, drugs, kids, and they always have like the
Get into the van, kids. He doesn't have candy.
Yeah, and they'd always have the like sports celebrity of the moment, you know, like Jose Canseco and Spider-Man say, "Don't get in the van, kids." They're horrible.
They're great. I love them.
At the time when you can't appreciate irony, I'm sure getting this comic book would be, you know, an ice pick to the eye. But if I get one now, I think I might appreciate that differently.
I did get the NRA comic book as a present once because my dad thought, well, you like comic books. Here you go.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, it was a gun safety comic book. So that's nice.
But... it's just promoting safety.
Yeah. It was just very weird. I guess, actually, for me, I can say anything from my dad has been not a success.
Yeah, same thing with my mom. Like, Lord love her, she tries hard. But, yes, Mom, when I said I liked Star Wars and lightsabers, I was kind of hinting that I wanted one of those really cool collectible Force Effects sabers, not the $10 bargain bin collapsible plastic ones.
But you liked it when I got you those.
Well, I mean, other than beating each other with them.
It was a gag gift that we basically displayed for his niece on how to hit each other with sticks.
Oh, yes, yes. On proper stick hitting safety.
Valuable.
I think, my dad is not really good at giving or receiving gifts. So I have gotten in the past groceries.
Oh!
Yeah, he knows I like sushi. So he got me stuff from the grocery store to make sushi. Sushi rice, seaweed, wasabi, sesame seeds, soy sauce. You name it. I'm set. Oh, and the little roller that I already had. I've gotten just some really bizarre things from him. And some not so bad, which I actually kind of credit to his new wife. But it's kind of hit or miss. I have gotten, this is a specific problem for me because my family's in America. I live in Canada. I've gotten things, let me just say, people, don't get somebody something that requires a subscription fee unless you plan to pay that subscription fee first off. Because any gift that comes with an extra commitment is never a good idea, but a couple of times I've gotten things that they only work in the United States. You know, you can't actually use it in Canada. And it's sad because they're really thoughtful, nice gifts, but I can't really use them except if I'm visiting and it doesn't really, you know, pay for me to do something like that. And I feel bad because I feel like I'm letting the person who's giving me the gift down. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I live in Canada. I can't use that. My aunt, she loves to give gift certificates because she's got this whole way that it helps raise money for charity. And she will try to get me gift certificates for stores that are only in the US, and it's like, Amazon. Amazon's a good one. Amazon works. That goes everywhere. So, right. Amber, worst geek gift.
I would say kind of a long text thing with the lightsabers. I would say, like, inappropriate collector's things. Mm. I'm a big Nightmare Before Christmas fan, and I like to collect, like, really nice pieces. You know, I have tattoos and, like, the whole nine yards. But my parents seem to think I will like anything with Jack Skellington on it, and I will get doormats and embossed mirrors and slippers and flip-flops and anything. And meanwhile,
and the diary with the little lock on it.
Yes, all of it. And I want, like, the stuff that's going to be worth something someday that I can display, not garbage. And I don't have the heart to tell them to stop.
Yay, it's another Jack Skellington toilet paper holder. Thanks, Mom. I don't have one of these.
Yeah, if it was at Hot Topic and on the clearance section, that's pretty much I got it.
Well, you know, the Jack Skellington headband, you know, it's a little snug, Amber, but you might lose weight. You might fit into it.
Wearing the wristband.
Yeah, right? You can always get a wristband. This year they did a little better. They got me one a little too loud for me Jack Skellington hoodie, but they also got me a Jack Skellington head, which is actually stained glass, and it's a lamp, and it's actually nice. Really cool. Mm. So they got me one cool thing and one I don't need it thing. So.
I collect frogs, and I have the same problem. I have gotten some amazing little frog statues, and I've gotten plastic weird looking whatevers. And sometimes the little plastic things are fun, like the grippies that you put on the bottom of the shower. They're really cute. And if I get enough of those, I eventually recycle through them because people just keep giving them to me. So as they start to get old, I just toss one out and put new ones on the shower floor. But I did once get a live frog.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's something you don't get, people, by the way. You don't buy them anything living.
Yeah.
Well, the worst part was, it came with the crickets that you have to feed them.
Ew.
And the crickets, their wings are clipped so they don't make noise. And all I could think is my inner Buddhist was just screaming, oh my God, you want me to do what? And so I had to take it to a pet store. And they're like, we're not going to give you any money for this. I'm like, I just want you to take it. I don't want this in my house. I'm not bringing bugs into my house. It was so sad. And again, you feel bad because, you know, the person's making an effort.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, would you want this? If somebody collects something, think about it. Even if it's not your style, would you want that in your house? Do you want the creepy frog that looks like he did something nasty to that mushroom over there? No. Don't buy it.
That kind of goes along with your subscription thing, too. You don't get a pet as a gift unless you're going to do all the work and all the maintenance for the length of the time you have the pet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My niece once got a is it a gerbil or a hamster? Cassandra ended up getting
I don't know, a rodent.
Yeah. and the funny thing was, my niece, she just... her face when she saw it, she's like, what the heck is that? And it was like, well, you said you wanted a pet. No. And she never touched it. And it was pregnant, so it had like more.
Oh gosh.
And the next thing you knew, everyone in the family had a gerbil or a hamster.
Just handing them out. Everybody's getting one. Yeah. Every day.
It was just terrible. And her face was just, what are you giving me? So yeah, anything alive is bad.
Mm. Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to ask Amber.
Yeah.
As a music geek,
mm.
What do you not get? You must have had some, oh, you like music, here's a new pack of guitar strings.
That's a no-no. No guitar strings. I've learned that one. No guitar strings and no guitar straps. It's a very personal decision.
It is. Mm. I was going to say, especially mm-hmm. for a singer, but yes.
Yeah, for a guitarist, that is a no-no. Yeah. For a singer, there's not really, I mean, you wouldn't, I wouldn't get a singer any vocal coaching books or CDs because that might send the wrong message. That hasn't happened to me at this point, but you never know.
Well, that goes with, before Hugh had suggested, if you know that somebody's into something, don't get them the intro book.
Right.
I've had people say, oh, you like baking. And then want to get you, like, a beginner's guide to baking. I already know how to bake. I can build castles out of cake, you know. It's a little off my game there.
Your father got me that this introductory reference to guns, which is just like...
That was printed in, like, the 50s.
Yeah, but it's this catalog of how to identify various firearms by manufacturer. It's like, I think I can tell the difference by now. I've been an armorer for 13 years. I know the difference between rifles and pistols. Thanks, Pops. Great gift, cool photos, A for effort, you know, F for execution.
And then there's also the whole, when people give you the gift of something that they're into. Like, yes. My father's wife is into coin collecting and historic money and so forth, and so she gave us, it was a nice gesture, but we got, you know, some coins and some dollars, and it's like, thanks.
Yeah. Do they shoot each other, or?
Now, Hugh, you'd mentioned before about expanding someone's fandom, if you know they're into something, expanding their geekery. My mother is a huge nut for British comedies. So every year I try to find one that she hasn't seen yet that I know she's going to like. You know, she was into, you know, Keeping Up Appearances and Are You Being Served? So, it's, well, have you seen Father Ted yet? No, what's that? Okay, Father Ted. Now this year I think it's absolutely fabulous that she hasn't seen yet. And then we're continuously trying to find...
I just hope she actually watches it. Unlike the thing with Father Ted is... We sat her down and we watched an episode with her, and she's like, that's nice, and then she didn't touch it until it showed on, like, PBS or something, and she goes, oh, have you seen this show, Father Ted? Yes, Mom. We gave you the whole entire series last Christmas. You mean I have all the episodes? Yes, Mom!
Are they going to make any more? No, Mom. The guy died. I told this to you last year. Oh, did you? Yes, Mom. Was I knitting? Yes, Mom. Oh, I didn't hear you then. I know, Mom.
I really think she'll dig the absolutely fabulous, but I
as long as she's not knitting.
Yeah,
that's one of Paula's favorite shows, so she'll like it.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous is exactly as the title says. It's one of my favorites, and I think if she enjoys that, we can then move on to giving her the earlier French and Saunders show.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Also,
and Little Britain, if she hasn't watched that one.
Yeah, Little Britain's fun. Although I have to say, Little Britain, is it US or Little Britain, Canada, whatever? There's one that they filmed in North America. Yeah. Not as funny.
They never are.
No.
Well,
no. I like The Office better in the US than in the UK.
Oh, that's true. I do too. There
are the exceptions, you know. Office in the UK is just... I don't know. It's mean.
I did like his cameo that he had in the American version.
Yes, Ricky Gervais.
When Ricky Gervais had his cameo, yeah, that was great.
That was pretty great.
I just want to reiterate, handmade stuff.
Yes,
is very cool, especially if it's personal handmade stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Every year, a couple that I game with gives out like handmade things related to the games we're playing. Which is very cool.
That's cool.
So, like, I had a character who was a gangster / fence who owned, like, a weird pawn shop. And she got me, like, coasters with his logo on them and stuff like that that are very cool.
That's awesome.
That is really cool.
I got somebody had made me one year for Christmas. It's just a wooden plaque. And she hand-painted it in different green colors and put glitter all over it and painted in my name, Nuke Choss. Which is great because it's somebody that I know. She knows my real name, but she made me a Nuke Choss plaque. And I keep that up in my office all the time, and I treasure it. And it's just this little wooden plaque, and I just love it. Thank you, Anna. And
cool.
Yeah, anything handmade, I think especially in the geek community, we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. You got us one of my favorite gifts, which was a drawing you did of us from one of our music videos.
Right.
And you turned it into an ornament and sent us that. And that was, that's one of the most amazing gifts, handmade gifts I've ever received.
Yeah. Well, I drew the picture and then Zazzle made the ornament. It's nice and easy, and it's pretty much anyone can do it. You know, if you think that you don't have much talent in making the craft, but you can do something else, you can use places like Zazzle to make coasters. You can use, or ornaments or whatever. You can use websites to make t-shirts. Oh, what about when I made t-shirts, your whole family got into Mario Brothers, and I made everybody a Mario t-shirt.
Yeah, for the Mario parties.
Yeah.
Woo, Mario parties.
Everybody got a different character. What was it? Your mom was Luigi?
No, my mom is Mario. My dad was Wario. My sister was Toad. I was Yoshi.
Right. And Jay was Boo.
And Jay was Boo.
Right. So, you know, and all that was iron-ons, and I think that little cat is wearing the t-shirts, and the Boo one, finally, the dryer has faded it completely.
But, yeah, if you knit or know someone who knits and you have a geek on your list, every geek needs a Doctor Who Tom Baker scarf or a Serenity Jane hat. They're pretty easy to make. I mean, I always laugh at people who knit scarves because, congratulations, you've knit a rectangle. You know, a really long rectangle, but scarves are awesome, and the Tom Baker scarf is definitely the most awesome of them.
Yeah, and Ravelry has tons of things for knitters and crocheters. What is it? Ravelry.com. You can just go and find all these different geek patterns for knitting, for crocheting, for everything. This is a huge thing among geeks lately, by the way, knitting.
Yeah, I've noticed
knitting
that.
It's huge, so...
And I would say, to add to the homemade thing, as a musician, I love a good mixtape.
Yes. I have a friend, she runs popgirls.com, and every year she will make what she calls a not-so-holiday mix, and it's just a mix of her favorite songs from indie musicians that have come out over the past year, and she used to send them out as CDs, now she'll send them out as digital links, and just getting music is... fantastic. It's one of my favorite things. I have a Dropbox that I share with my brother and my sister, and whenever we come across some really good music, we'll just throw it in the Dropbox. And when I see a Dropbox announcement that folder's got music in it, I get all excited because I've got music. So giving the gift of music is wonderful. And it doesn't cost you much.
No, and it's good to get different types. Like, I like mixtapes from my friends of their favorite stuff, because I might discover a new band or something.
Yeah, well, how many times am I asking you on Twitter to give me some recommendations, because I want something new?
That's true. Yeah. And with Spotify now, I'm in love with Spotify. You don't like it? You're not a fan?
I'm in Canada.
Oh, they don't have Canada Spotify?
No Spotify, no Google Music, no Amazon streaming.
Spotify has like every country. I can't believe they don't have Canada. I'm gonna write a stern letter.
Thank you. Write a letter for me.
Spotify
probably has to do with our transmissions and regulatory council. The CRTC is that most there was a thing against Sirius and XM Radio for a while because you could not guarantee 30% Canadian content.
Right, KenCon.
Therefore it was not coming. And it took a long, long time for them to finally iron that one out with the lawyers.
I will tell everyone that this podcast has more than 30% Canadian content right now. There's 50% going on.
Hello.
Right.
Well, considering Tech and I are recording in Canada, and I am a resident and he is a citizen, we have, I'd say, actually maybe 60% Canadian content. Mm. Well, I guess their
locations are... And I'm just across the river.
Yeah, you're like almost in Canada anyway.
Buffalo, like, New York.
Right there.
Oh, Southern Ontario.
Yes.
Or is Ontario upstate Northern New York?
Depends who you ask.
Yeah, it depends who you're talking to. Like, for cooking nerds, I don't.
Cooking
nerds. I don't need any more cool towels, or oven mitts, or spoons, measuring cups, etc. I'm full up, thanks.
I still need that Dr. McNinja apron, though.
I have the baking is science for hungry people apron.
Ooh, I like that.
That was from the questionable content catalog. I got you that a couple years ago.
Yes, you did. Along with my aerodynamically curvaceous t-shirt.
Yes.
So. Now, what about food gifts?
As long as you avoid going to the grocery store and buying somebody groceries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of, I have a friend, he makes chocolate-covered pretzels and cookies and truffles. I think, Amber, you mentioned on your podcast that you had made truffles for something recently. You know,
yeah.
Chocolate-covered strawberries, giving things like that. Those are great gifts. Cupcakes.
Yes.
Well, it goes back to the handmade
as long
thing.
As you know yeah. that somebody likes it and you're not giving chocolate to somebody allergic.
Right. Well, like I would say we're big in an Italian household, we're big olive oil eaters, consumers. So I would love a fancy bottle of olive oil yeah. or something like that. That's not a, that's, I don't, for me, that's not a bad food gift to give.
Yes, especially spiced olive oil is a great food gift to give. I would highly recommend that one. I've gotten that a couple of years. My brother made some great ones for everyone for Christmas one year, and gosh, I had that bottle forever. That about does it for us. Thank you everyone for joining us. Hugh, would you like to pimp your podcast and websites?
Yes, I am the host and editor of The Way of the Buffalo podcast, which features short fiction from new authors, as well as interviews from around the internet. You can check that out at wayofthebuffalopodcast.blogspot.com, and we're also in iTunes. You can friend me on Twitter at Hatching Phoenix, and I'm on Google Plus and Facebook and all that as Hugh O'Donnell.
And Amber.
I am one of the co-creators of the Lavender Lane podcast, and we are not cool enough to have a Blogspot or WordPress, so you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Lavender Lane podcast. We also have a musical act, After How, and that's also facebook.com/After How.
Thank you, everyone. Enjoy your holiday of choice, Christmas, Festivus, Hanukkah, Ramadan, I think that's a little bit later, Kwanzaa, whatever. Enjoy it and have a very happy holiday and a great season. And enjoy your presents, whether they be big, small, or geeky or non-geeky. Bye. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.